grace to you and peace and provisions for proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, be yours from God the Father who has created us, Jesus Christ who has been our Savior, through the Holy Spirit who continues to call us, gather us, sanctify us, and enable us for his work. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's the Lenten season. It's a time in the church here when we are to be a bit introspective, to look at how we understand our theology, look at how we understand ourselves, and by the grace of God, learn more, confess more, receive forgiveness more, and look forward greatly to Easter, the day that Christ rises to assure us of that forgiveness. The question I'd like to pose as I think about the first verse of our text is, why are those of us who are here as alternate route students or as MDiv students at CPS, what actually are we preparing to be? All of us, whether we're in that category or whether we are already pastors or whether we are there, the ones that support those pastors, think about it for a moment. What are these men really preparing to be? And I can hear one of you saying, well, I'm preparing to be a pastor. I'm preparing to be an ordained servant of the Word. It's interesting in the Bible that most of the metaphors, most of the pictures for what a pastor is, are from the human point of view. Probably the most popular of those is the shepherd, leading, caring for, and protecting the sheep. There's the idea of the builder, who goes to build the kingdom of God, the encourager. Then you have the gardener or the farmer, the one who plants the seed of the Word of God and goes to sleep, and all at once it grows. He doesn't know how it happens. There's the steward, good steward of the mysteries of God. And then there's the servant. We often use it in the phrase, the servant of the Word. Then there's also the manager or the administrator. Our text, however, looks at this thing a little differently. It looks at it from God's point of view. And from God's point of view, there in that first verse of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, we have these words, you are God's co-worker. The text says, since we are God's co-workers, we urge you not to let God's grace or his loving kindness be wasted on you. But from this point of view, from God's point of view, just what is that work that we are co-workers in? Four verses before our text begins, up there in chapter 5, in verse 18, it tells us that God is in the business of restoring broken relationships. In the business of reconciliation would be our classical church term for that. It reminds me a lot of my father, who was a pastor in South Dakota. I was, I suppose, just really getting to understand what it was about, maybe 8 years old, when one Sunday afternoon he said, Eugene, we're going to go out and visit the Richters. I want to go to Otto first, and if we're successful there, we're going to go over to Friedrich as well. Well, on the way he told me, you know, these two brothers have been fighting ever since their father died, when they divided the land and that pond in the middle, they both argue that it belongs to them. So as we came to Otto's home, his home was up a bit higher, and there was a wheat field coming down to a fence that was closed off here. And we got out of the car, and pretty soon he saw us, and he waved from up above and came down toward us through that wheat field. The wheat field was pretty high at this point in the year. And as he got near to us, where this gate was, all at once I noticed that in his hand, he was carrying it down here like this, there was a shotgun. And the two mouths of the shotgun were pointed just about right at my head, because I was a short and small boy at that time. As he came near the fence, he said, Pastor Bronkowski, I really don't want to talk to you today. I know what you're here for. And after a short pause, my dad turned to me and said, Eugene, I think we better go home. And we turned around and went back home. But that wasn't the end of the matter, because my father, with the elders and with some of the leaders of the church, continued to visit with Otto and continued to visit with Friedrich. And about 2 years later, I'll always remember, it was a great triumph for me, I guess, as a young boy of maybe 8 or 9 by then, to see these men come into the church, to realize that the barrier had been broken, that there was a restoration of relationship here between these two, also between themselves and their God, and between themselves and the rest of the people in that church. But you know, there's a second dimension to this business of restoring broken relationships. And that comes in the words previous to our text too. That is the restoring of broken relationships between God and each one of us. 5:15 says, Christ died for all people. And we know that on this death, on the cross of Calvary, according to another part of that verse, God has restored our relationship with himself through Christ Jesus. And as we believe that message of restoration, the wall of sin for each of us and death is broken down, and there's open access. In fact, we are, through our baptism, drawn into the body of Christ. We become part of him. And then it says that as part of him, the love of Christ, that attitude of love of Christ, constrains us and moves us forward. That's that second dimension. Saving faith, and then living by faith. The result is that according to verse 17 of 5, we are a new creation. We have been recreated. The old way of living, that one of looking down on others, of fighting, of backbiting, of lying, of putting the worst construction on what others do, of condemning others, and thereby breaking our relationship with others, that, according to the chapter, has disappeared. And a new kind of way of living has happened in us, one in which that love of Christ moves out from us to others. It tends to build other people up. It tends to admonish them and encourage and assist them when needed. It puts the best construction on everything. Most especially, it speaks always the clear, crisp truth. But it does that in love. That is what the new creation that has come into existence is all about. Then there's a second result. That is, as God's co-workers, each of us that's in the alternate route program or the MDiv program or already is an ordained servant of God's word, as God's co-worker now from God's point of view, God's word and God's work takes first place with us. But what is that work? That's again the restoring of the relationship with all people. 1 Timothy 2:4 says it this way, God would have all to be saved. He would have all to come to that restored relationship with the barrier of sin and death broken down and come to a full knowledge of the truth. So we no longer live for ourselves, but for that man who died and was brought back to life for us and whose life we are now joined to. We live in him and we continue to do what he came for. It tells us in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Yes, as God's co-workers, we're about that work of seeking. We're about that work of sowing the seed of God's word. He's done the work of saving. He also, through the Holy Spirit, does the work of converting. But it is our job to seek and to plant. What's the conclusion? The point to me is this. From God's point of view, when he talks about us as fellow co-workers, Christianity needs to be understood as a missionary movement for restoring the broken relationship between God and each and every human being in Jesus Christ, the Savior. Secondly, for alternate route students, MDiv students, for pastors in the field, they're preparing and they already are involved in God's ordained word and sacrament ministry, in being partners with God in the work of motivating and multiplying God's ordained missionary movement for restoring those broken relationships outside of the church, in the community, in the world, yes, even within the church, so that it happens in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and out to the uttermost parts of the world. We read again that verse. Since we are God's co-workers, we urge you not to let God's loving kindness, His grace, be wasted on you. We stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it is with great joy that we know that the old way is gone. The way of being separated from our Lord Jesus Christ is over, and that there is a new way of living in us. Fill us during this Lenten season, dear Lord, with the understanding that your metaphor is one of being co-workers with you, working on your team to carry out your purpose in the world, that all should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Help us as we are preparing to do that, and as we are doing it, Lord, to daily understand more fully what it means to have all authority in heaven and on earth in this team, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us confidence and full assurance that we can be full co-workers with you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that powerful grace, peace, and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with us always. Amen.